Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Hello and welcome, and a happy Sunday to you. This is 97.9 The Hill. You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. I sure appreciate you all listening. This is the show that takes creativity so seriously. I've said it to you many, many times. I believe the most important thing we all can be doing right now is growing our creative and our entrepreneurial qualities. And one might think that if I consider creativity to be so important, I'd have a definition of it for you, but I refuse to define creativity. There's a couple of reasons why I refuse to define the word, one of which is that a definition by its very nature, by its very purpose, is exclusive. Anything outside that definition isn't considered something true to that definition. We need more creativity. We need an expansive understanding of what it means to be creative. The second reason is that definitions are static, right? They're fixed, and everything in the world is changing. And the tool sets, the skills, the knowledge that we need to be successful, to make our way in this ever-changing world, can't be static, can't be a static understanding of creativity. It's got to be a dynamic, multidimensional understanding. So I attend to that by giving you lots of different perspectives on what it means to be creative so that you can construct your own understanding. Well, today I'm going to focus specifically on those of us who are older than 55. Eventually that will be all of us. So I think you all will get value from listening to this show, but if it's a focus on the research that shows that the biological changes that occur in our brain somewhere around the age of 55 or 60 actually invite a creative renewal. So in earlier shows, I've talked about how we're all born with remarkable creative qualities that 1,600 four-year-old kids scored as creative geniuses. 98% of them scored as creative geniuses on NASA's creativity assessment. And so now I'm going to layer some more wonderful news on top of that about what happens in our brains. We're going to start with Dr. Zeke Bartzakis from UCLA. He was exploring the importance of myelin for the brain. The myelin is that fatty substance that wraps around the fibers that connect the neurons in our brain. Those fibers send and receive the chemical signals, the electrochemical signals between the neurons. We're born with very, very little myelin. We experience waves of myelination over the course of our lifetimes. The first wave of myelin focuses on our sensory and motor control areas. And it makes sense because myelin does more than just simply protect those fibers when it wraps around them. It accelerates the transmission from one neuron to another. It improves the integrity of that transmission from one neuron to another. So it makes sense that that first wave of myelination would focus when we're around 3 or 4 years old on the sensory control and motor control areas so that we can stand and run and so that we can have a mature, sophisticated understanding of the world around us. Well, each wave of myelin, folks, each wave of myelin, and again, we get somewhere between 5 to 7 waves of myelin throughout our life, each wave continues to improve the performance. The second wrapping, the third wrapping of myelin around these connective fibers continue to improve the acceleration and the integrity of that transmission of information forth and back, back and forth. The last waves of myelin focus on the prefrontal cortex. And when Dr. Bartzakis was studying this phenomenon, he was actually studying to see if the deterioration of myelin has something to do with dementia when he came up with these other understandings. And his quote is that, with that last wave of myelination, There's now a biological explanation for wisdom. And why we are urged, folks, to eat foods that are high in omega-3 fatty acids is because that is a substance so, so similar to the fatty substance of myelin. So those omega-3 fatty acids repair and restore the myelin, keep it fresh, keep it doing its job. So, of course, we get a lot of that in fish, but there's so many other sources for omega-3 fatty acids. I strongly urge you to search them out. Down the road from where I am right now in the studio at 97.9 The Hill, down the road, Dr. Cabeza at Duke University had his own study. He recruited young, recent college grads, and he recruited high-functioning seniors. And he developed three or four high-level problems, logic problems, math problems. And he scanned the brains of his participants as they solved these problems. The recent college grads solved these problems in a very specific local portion of their brain, not at all networking through the rest of the brain, but just in a very, very local area. Seniors solve these problems, integrating both hemispheres of their brains. And the significance of that, folks, is that, yes, our right hemisphere is considered our creative hemisphere, our left hemisphere is considered are analytical, but research shows that you want to get into your best creative state, you want the analytical playing with the imaginative, you want the nonlinear dancing with the rational. And seniors just naturally integrate the two hemispheres of our brains when we're engaged in high-level creative thinking. Now, taking a walk also integrates the two hemispheres, so boy, let's do both, right? Let's benefit from that natural integration that occurs, and let's support that by taking walks, Why does this happen when we're older? Dr. Cabeza says, it's not like we all of a sudden have developed some superpower. No, it has to do with neuroplasticity, that our brain is prepared to change to become what the brain needs to be to serve us, right? And so, just, you know, his metaphor is, you know, could you lift a 30-pound weight with one arm when you were young? And now it takes two arms for you to lift that. That's what's going on, right? But whatever is the reason why, it results in the two hemispheres of our brains communicating with each other, working together, and being much more effective at solving high-level problems. I'll talk to you, share with you more really good news about what's going on in our brains when you come back from the break.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back. In the first segment, I shared with you a couple of big research projects that talk about how the biological changes that occur in a brain somewhere around the age of 55 or 60 actually result in a more creative brain, a brain ready that's ready for creative renewal. Here's some more. We've known since the 70s, since the 1970s, when social scientists began to try to categorize the various ways that we think, right? The various ways that we process information, process knowledge. They were trying to find different ways that we do that. A couple that they came up with, one was fluid intelligence. That's our ability to quickly determine patterns in a new situation, quickly understand the logic of something that we haven't seen before. That's really good when we're 20. That's really good when we're 30. Probably plateaus somewhere in our 40s and begins to deteriorate as we reach our 50s and our 60s. The other was crystallized intelligence. Crystallized intelligence is our ability to mine the knowledge and experiences that we have for new insights, for new ideas, for new perspectives, for new relationships. And that starts getting good around the age of 40 and gets better when we're 50, even better still when we're 60. And that can keep growing and getting strong and be very, very powerfully available to us into our 70s and our 80s when we are using it. Think about it as sort of kaleidoscopic thinking, right? A kaleidoscope can give you all these different images, all this delightful images without changing any of the pieces that are in there. It's just finding fresh relationships. That's what you're doing when you're engaged in crystallized intelligence, right? You're using the pieces that are already there, but you're putting them in new relationships to find new patterns, to find new insights, to find new ways to move forward. Here's a piece. Well, actually, there's five or six pieces of research around this phenomena. And the researchers all had this, sort of the same point of view as, oh, isn't this too bad for 60-year-old people? It's the research that tries to understand why we are more easily distracted as we age. And they've discovered, they've determined that there's a portion of our prefrontal cortex that's sort of the traffic cop, right, that keeps unexpected inputs out and lets us focus only on what we want to focus on. Well, that piece of a brain tissue begins to thin, begins to weaken somewhere around the age of 55 or 60, so that more inputs, more unexpected inputs are coming in. And again, what the researchers' purpose was, it was to help us understand why we are so easily distracted as we age, why we walk from one room into another room to get something, and when we get to that other room, we can't remember what it was that we were looking for. Well, there's two artists that I'm aware of, two very successful artists that I'm aware of, who tried to sort of replicate this unexpected input phenomena. One was David Bowie. When David Bowie's new song, the lyrics of a new song, were coming close to, in his mind, a final draft, he would write the lyrics out line by line on a piece of paper such that he could cut the paper so that each line would have its own strip of paper. Each line of the lyric would have its own strip of paper. He'd take all those strips, he'd throw them on the table, and he'd look for new relationships. He'd look for how one line overlaps with another line, and maybe there's an idea there, a new metaphor, a new way to talk about something that he hadn't seen before. William Burroughs, the author, the novelist, did something similar when he had one of his books coming close in his mind to a final draft. He'd print the book out, and then he'd fold pages so that you would read from one paragraph on page 7 onto the rest of the paragraph on page 37 and see the same thing. There's some fresh insights, some fresh relationships that he hadn't seen before. So yes, indeed, there is the challenge of, gee, I know I came in here to get something. I can't remember now what it is. I'm sure you've either figured this out or read the big tip that says, well, go back to the spot where you started, and that's most likely that when you're there, that you'll remember what it was that you were looking for. But also embrace this. Also understand that as you're working on your creative life, that's that unexpected input that often sets you on the course that is going to help you explore and discover, wonder that you hadn't known that you were even looking for. There's a longitudinal study, it's just wound down here fairly recently, from Mills College. Mills College was the oldest women's college west of the Rockies. It was independent for a whole lot of years. I believe it's recently joined the Berkeley University constellations of schools. And Mills College, the researchers recruited women from the class of 1958, and women from the class of 1960, the graduating seniors from those years. They had just under 150 women at the beginning, and boy, it's exciting to see how many of these women stayed with this study throughout the study. Again, it's concluded fairly recently as these women were into their 60s and 70s. They were trying to see what would happen to their creativity and leadership as they matured, as they aged. And so they were measuring those skills and those abilities throughout the lifetime of these people. And here's what they found, that as they aged, they got much better at dealing with ambiguity, much better at managing uncertainty as they aged. They got much, much better at holding two conflicting ideas together at the same time and still being able to make decisions and still being able to operate and still being able to move forward even though they had these two conflicts. and their situational intelligence continued to improve as they aged. What is situational intelligence? That's that ability to bring the quality that you've got to the situation, because that's what is needed right now. Is it time for me to be a leader? Okay, I'm going to step up and bring my leadership skills. Oh no, the situation says, Norgren, stand back, sit back, let other people take the lead on this one. Your situational intelligence helps you understand which version of yourself you should be to serve the moment in front of you, and that keeps getting better as we age. That seems to me to be really very consistent with the fact that our crystallized intelligence improves as we age, that would be one of the things that our improving crystallized intelligence would be able to do for us, right, is help us find the version of us that is going to be most useful in this moment. In July 2021, the Washington Post surveyed a great range of research projects that were all about helping us understand the impact of creativity on people's, on elder people's, older people's lives. And we're going to talk about their findings when you come back from the break.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill. This is Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren, the show that tries to give you lots of perspectives on what it means to be creative. Today, the focus has been on the biological changes that occur in our brains somewhere around the age of 55 or 60. Of course, it varies for each one of us. And if you're not that, if you're 40, well, you're headed this way. So pay attention and get optimistic about what's ahead of you in terms of the changes that happen in your brain. I had just begun to set up a Washington Post article, again, from July 21, where they surveyed a range of creativity research projects that were about helping the researchers understand what goes on in an elder person's life when they make a big commitment to being creative. Some of that research clustered around the idea of creativity being artistic, right? So they studied folks who are engaged in artistic expressions of their creativity. They're painters, they're singers, they're poets, they're dancers, right? That was one group. A second cluster of research was around the idea that this show takes a more expansive understanding. Yes, we include artistry in our understanding of creativity, but we go beyond that. We're talking about being open to new ideas, learning, exploring your life, discovering still in your life, traveling. There was a second cluster of research around people who expressed and showed those qualities in their life. In both cases, folks, it made no difference. In both cases, what the researchers found was that we live longer lives when we live creative lives, and we find more joy in our life when we live creative lives. And boy, when I read that article, I thought, well, what else is there? I mean, isn't that like the fundamental success, is to be able to live a long, joyful life? And so now we have some sense as to what's going on, right? Our brains are inviting us to get out and become more creative, be more expressive. So here's a couple of pieces of, here's a couple of tips, rather, that you can engage in that will support your creative growth. I've mentioned one in passing, and that is take a walk. That rhythm of a walk brings the two hemispheres of your brains together. You're much, much better at idea generation when you're walking. You're much better at fresh thinking when you're walking. And there's a latency effect. It doesn't end at the end of the walk. You can carry that with you for a few hours into your day. The researchers that studied this were out at Stanford, and initially they had the participants walking in those beautiful parks of Palo Alto. And when I heard about the research about walking, I said, well, of course, I walk in the woods And so I know that when I'm walking in the woods, I'm becoming more creative. Well, they were wondering, was it the woods or was it the walk? And so they replicated the research in a boring office space where there was a treadmill and person just looking at the wall, and they found that same wonderful impact from walking on that treadmill. Didn't need nature, although I got to think that nature adds to the impact of taking that walk for sure. The second, and here's an easiest thing you can possibly do, folks, and that's stare at the color green for 30 seconds. I do it twice a day for 30 seconds. The research out of the University of Munich was trying to determine, does color have an impact on creative performance? They were very ambitious with their research. They created four very, very different creative exercises for the participants to do, exercises that demanded very different creative cognitive thinking to complete them. You know how it works. They bring in the base group, the control group that doesn't look at any color, just takes the four tests, and we get their score. The next group came in and looked at the color red, stared at the color red, meditated on the color red for 30 seconds, and then took the four exercises. The next group meditated on blue, another on yellow, fourth on gray, the fifth on green. Those first four, red, blue, gray, and yellow, when they took the test, they had no change in their performance versus the control group. The folks that stared at the color green for 30 seconds had a 25% improvement in their performance. I'm looking right now at this table in the studio at my green folder. I went out and bought a green folder. As soon as I learned of this research, I pass out green folders at all of my workshops and all of my courses. I say to folks, look, it takes a minute of your time every day to twice a day stare at the color green. Why green? The researchers don't offer their reasons why they think green is the color, but turn to wherever you are right now, turn and look out the window. Wherever you are, the color of growth is green. Photosynthesis, what is it? The most fundamental life growing force on our planet, it creates green. I've subsequently read that our eyes can detect more shades of green than any other color. So take a walk, and then in the middle of the day, stare at green, and you'll get in your most creative mind. You'll benefit from the changes that are happening to your aging brain. You'll benefit from the fact that at our foundation, we're all wonderfully creative. I wish you a wonderfully creative week. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you next week.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.